Good morning. How's everyone? Good to see all of you today. We've got a number of guests with us today, and we appreciate you being here on this Father's Day. And Mark Welch is down here. Mark, wave at us. He's a coffee-drinking buddy, and a man loves the Lord. We're glad to have him. He's been on a couple of our men's retreats with us also. Well, this is Daddy's Day, Father's Day. I want to recognize all of our fathers. Would you stand with me if you're a dad, and we want to recognize you, just all of our fathers stand. All over the house. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I've already, last week and last month, men came up to me and they said, you know, on Mother's Day, we give all the mothers a rose. We give hanging baskets for special categories. You know, we're really sweet to all the moms. Then Dad's Day comes along. They said, what are you going to do for the dads? And I thought this year I'd do something really special. I want all the dads to line up as we leave today. And as you come by me, I want you to bend over. I'm going to give you a swift kick. My wife can't believe I said that, but I... Oh, me. It's good to have everyone. Will you stand as I read from God's Word this morning and you follow along? We're over in the Psalms, and we're in Psalms chapter 127. I want to read three verses for you, beginning in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Father, this morning how we come to give you praise and glory for everything you've done for us. And Lord, I just thank you for so many godly fathers that are standing right now. And Lord, we give you praise and glory for the opportunity you give us as dads to lead our families, our homes, and what an awesome responsibility it is. So Father, we come this morning before your throne. We thank you for the precious word of God that you've promised it would not return without accomplishing that which you've intended for it to. So, Father, hide your messenger behind the cross today that people would not see me, but only hear from you. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. One of my favorite Father's Day humorous things is years ago when my dad was alive and I was doing a lot of traveling. He always loved all kind of waterfowl, and he had seen on one of the shows back in the 60s, a man had a talking bird, and my dad said he'd give anything to have one like that. Well, I knew they were pretty expensive, but where I was, they had some for sale, and they were still expensive, and so I got one and shipped it to my dad, and he was, several weeks later, I called him and asked him, I said, Dad, did you receive your Father's Day gift? And he said, oh, yes. I said, well, what'd you think about it? How was it? And he said, it was delicious. And I said, Dad, that was an expensive bird. I paid a lot of money for it. He could speak three languages. He said, well, he ought to have said something. That really didn't happen. I hope you understand that, okay? Although he probably would have eaten him. I had a wonderful dad, and I appreciate so much. I pulled his picture up on my website to praise the Lord for him. And in later years, he was such a gentle man. And my mom would always kiss us on the cheek, but my dad never would. But later years in life, every time we would leave, he would hug me and kiss me on the cheek. And never will forget that. Looking forward to seeing him in heaven one day. This message this morning is to encourage our men. I put a title down for it this morning. Fathers, we have a tough job. And it is a tough job. It's living in a day and age where it takes every ounce of everything we have to be the right kind of dad that God wants us to be. And then many times we come up short. And if you have a father that you didn't have a good relationship with, I'm very sorry for that. But don't let that keep you from being a good dad. And if you're a dad here in some of your kids have not turned out the way you thought they should or would, let me just say, never give up. And I found out that men that have made mistakes, and big mistakes with their kids, if you'll go back to those kids, whether they act like they receive it or not, and just say, I'm sorry, I made some mistakes, and want to ask you to forgive me. And that's one of the best things you can do. And so this message this morning out of the book of Psalms here is this particular chapter is a chapter that we're of wisdom. And God's trying to teach us that all human effort in this particular verse here is in vain. And you remember we studied about the great man of God, David, in Ecclesiastes, and he said, everything is vain. Everything is lost. And what the writer is trying to get across to us this morning as we look at this passage on wisdom is that everything we do in the flesh is vain unless God's blessings are upon the family and the home. Now, the word heritage here, behold, children are a heritage. You need to underscore that because it means inheritance. The word heritage here means inheritance. They come not from mere nature, but are from God's blessings. Just like an inheritance is not from our own hands, but from someone else. We as men have inherited from God, our Father, these special gifts. A child is a gift from God. A gift from God. I've listed three or four things here I want to draw your attention from and then end with a story that I believe will stir your hearts. And the first thing that I've got, and children are a reward. The Bible says here, verse 4, says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from the Lord. Have you ever received a reward? Children are not an accident, a curse, or an inconvenience. Children are given to us by God Almighty that never makes any mistakes. He's a perfect God, and every child that's ever been born is important to God. And God has a plan for them. They say that in this country, one reason that a lot of our Social Security and other things that are coming up short that should be supplied by the government is because of the thousands and thousands and even millions of abortions that have occurred over the last number of years, and all of those children would be in the workforce today. Very sad. But children are a reward. They are a reward from God. And what a difference it would make in homes if fathers viewed their children as a reward. Over the years, as a pastor, I've had teenage young people to come to me, and it would break your heart if you would hear some of the stories as they'd say, you know, I know I'm not wanted because I've heard my parents say that I'm an accident. I've had people, grown men, to weep in my study and say, you know, I never once had my dad to tell me that he loved me or he cared for me. What an awesome responsibility we have with our children. The second thing that the scripture points out to us here, it says children are like arrows, like arrows. So what do you do with an arrow? Well, if you're a bow hunter, do we have any bow hunters in here? Two, me and one more, okay. It's a great hobby to instill in your kids. You need to be safe with it. It's a lot safer than guns. And I'm not opposed to anybody having guns, but a bow is and you get involved in archery. It's an individual sport. And we used to have several years ago a group that would come. They were involved in the Junior Archery Olympics. And they would get out here on our field, and they would set up targets 40 and 60 and 100 yards. And these targets were like 6 or 8 feet across in diameter. And they would set those up. And I saw those 100-yard targets, and I said, they're not ever going to be able to hit those. And those little 7th and 8th grade boys and girls would get those large recurve bows. Those are the kind that don't have all that, not like the compound bows. They don't have all those mechanisms on them. And they would shoot those 100-yard targets. And it was very competitive. And a lot of those kids that practiced out there on our field went on and won in Junior Olympics. But it's a great individual sport to teach children a lot about a lot of different things. The scripture here says, children are like arrows. What do you do with an arrow? Well, you shoot it at a target, hopefully. And the scripture tells us that children are to be launched like missiles. One of our jobs as a dad is to know enough about our children and get to know them in such a way that we believe in our heart that when they leave home, and by the way, they are supposed to leave at one time or another, okay? Some come back to roost, but that's okay for a time. But those arrows, those children, you need to know something about those arrows. When I bow hunt, I know that I've got a 52-inch bear bow that I've had for about 40 years. I know that it's a 55-pound. I know that I need a 31-inch arrow. I know that it's on release. It's a 27-inch release form. I know that the arrow weighs about 4 ounces. I know the broadhead is 100 grain. And I know the accuracy range of it at 10 yards, 20 yards, and the maximum is about 30 yards with that. And I know a lot about the arrow. I know something about the bow also. The bow in this represents us. We're the warriors that handle the bow, that releases the arrow. And the scripture says here that children are like arrows. When you shoot them, you need to have a target in mind. And what is that target? What kind of targets do you have for your children? You know, if you don't have any targets, if you don't have any goals in their lives, they'll be very frustrated. And it's part of our job as spiritual leaders to get to know our children and the makeup of our children. They're all different. If you ever had more than one, you know that if you had two, like ours, Stephen's the oldest, and Courtney, they were as different as daylight and dark. And to this day, Stephen's very easygoing, and when Jesse married Courtney, about a month later, he said, "I realize she's a high-maintenance woman." Some of you identify with that, I see. Sadly, many fathers fail to see the target, and they've not spent the time and effort to get to know their children and to study them. We fail many times to help our children find their gifts and their talents. We have to prepare our children. So draw the bow and send the arrow flying as God would have you to. And then the third thing, children are given to us to bring a father happiness. Verse 5 says this, "Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Now, the happiness here tells us that, does anybody know in a warrior's quiver how many arrows there were? Five? Seven?
Seven?
Seven is a more accurate term. How many families here have seven kids this morning? Anybody? Anybody have five? I know you've got, what, 4 years here? Four? Are you happy? My son has five. He's happy. Let me just say a little bit about that, because when I was growing up, one of my granddaddies came. He had 13 brothers and sisters. And we hear that today, and we hear rude comments where people say, "Doesn't he know how many mouths he's going to have to feed? Doesn't he know what causes that?" And all kind of sarcastic remarks, but the Bible says here, "Happy is the man whose quiver is full." I believe one of the lies the enemy has fed us in this country is we can't take care of more children, but we need to be very sensible, we need to be very wise, but we also need to listen to what God's Word says. God says, "Happy is the man whose quiver is full." God needs to tell you how full your quiver needs to be. And my daughter has three, my son has two, or five. I've got 8 grandchildren. And I don't know about them, but I'm happy. The Bible says, "Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them." I was thinking as I was writing this outline down, "Oh, happy day." Now, that talks about Jesus, but when our son was born, now he's, what, 43 years of age. When he was born in Harris Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas, all those years ago, today, dads can go in the delivery room, be there when the delivery comes and all that kind of stuff. And even if that was true back then, I don't know if I could muster up enough courage to go in there. But back in those days, they didn't allow that. And the little waiting room was smaller than the choir loft there at Harris Hospital. And I don't know where all my friends were that day, but my wife had gone in and she said, I want that shot that numbs everything. Said, I don't want to be in any pain. So she had Stephen, and I'm in the waiting room all this time, and pacing back and forth, nobody to talk to, and you know, just seemed like forever, but I'm sure it wasn't a long time. She can remember, but I don't remember all of it. But I just remember pacing back and forth for all that time, and we didn't have cell phones, believe it or not, kids, back then, so I just couldn't get on the phone, called people. And I know I'd call my parents and probably Becky's parents and say, we're taking her to the hospital. And I think we knew beforehand that she was going to go in and what all was going to transpire. But they had a little window there. And they said, now, after he's delivered, we're going to clean him up and everything, and then we'll bring him to the window and show you. Any of y'all have that experience? A couple of you? Well, finally, the nurse came out and said, you've got an 8-pound, 3-ounce bouncing baby boy. And I don't know, I had this picture in my mind of what he was going to look like. And they brought him to the window, and, you know, some time had passed and everything, and that was the ugliest baby I'd ever seen. His head was all pointed, and he looked like an anteater. I'm not exaggerating. His head was all bent out of shape, and I was going into the ministry. I could just see myself introducing my son, Stephen the anteater. Well, after a few hours and the next day, they finally let me hold him. And his head is all gone back the way it's supposed to be. And those little bright eyes. And the nurse said, here, you can hold him, Mr. Sullivan. And when they placed that little boy into my arms, there was something magical that transpired. It's a wonderful feeling to be a dad when you know you're in the center of God's will and you want to raise your children that way. As a pastor, I've always thought that as your spiritual leader, I've had many responsibilities. But one of the greatest responsibilities I think any man of God should have, and especially when he stands in this pulpit, is not how great his sermons are or how liked he is in the community. But if a pastor doesn't raise his children right and they don't turn out to respect God and the things of God, he doesn't have a real good ministry for the future. And so I asked God many years ago when I first started pastoring 35, 37 years ago, I said, Lord, I may not ever be the greatest pastor to a flock, but one thing I can do, and Becky and I can do together, is try to raise godly children. And if you never forget anything from this pastor, you'll be able to look at my kids and say, they turned out pretty good. They turned out pretty good. I could preach the most eloquent sermons. I could be the most gifted organizer, build the greatest buildings, set the best example to you formally. But if my children turned out to be pagan and kids that didn't love the Lord, and folks, I could go down a list of great pastors in great churches, and when the kids got to be about 14 or 15 or 16 years old, it's like the pastor spent so much time ministering to people that he had forgotten his family. And I've had pastors to sit in my office and weep. You say, I wished I had it all to do over again. I'd do things differently. An awesome responsibility as a pastor. I want to share several things in closing with you that I've tried to do with my children and then share a close with a story. Harmon Killebrew was a great baseball player and preacher, I think back in the 50s and 60s. Joe, was it the 50s or 60s? 50s? He was a hero to my dad growing up. And Harmon Killebrew, I read this statement, said, my father used to play with my brother and me in the front yard, and my mom would come out and say, call his name and say, y'all are tearing up all the grass in the yard. And his dad would reply, we're raising boys, not grass. Brother Ron mentioned and Brother Vernon mentioned about praying with our family, with our kids. Our kids need to be prayed with and over. A lot of you as parents, and I know Johnny and Courtney have probably done this, have prayed over that little baby inside of her womb. We did that with our two. It's never too early to start. And I read a very interesting article that scientists have recently discovered, and that is by the time a mother gets to be about 7.5, 8 months going into that 9-month pregnancy time, that the skin, the lining of her stomach is so thin, now they are saying that children can actually see the expression on their parents' faces. That was an article in the paper this past week. And I'm going, you're kidding me. You see, they find out more and more how alive these children are in there. They could recognize voices of their parents, and they would even smile at a certain voice in a certain way that a mother would sing to their child. So pray with your children. How many grandparents do we have here today? Pray with your grandkids. If your son or daughter's not praying with them on a regular basis, you pray with them. A great joy and responsibility. Then read God's Word with your children. Let them see you praying with your wife. Lead them to Christ. Make sure that they're saved. I shared, I think, Wednesday night, our little, is Henry 8 now? Or 7? He's 8. Carl told us how he got saved just about a week ago. And what a joy that is to see your grandchildren coming to know Christ. Lead them to Christ. Help them to grow. Let them know how special they are. You can't say that enough. Be a part of their lives. If you go out the front of Shenandoah up here where the Shell station is, behind the Shell station, in that area in there where the now there's a restaurant back there, but all that before that was built, there was a big Shenandoah sign there, a wooden sign that Larry Braddock and some of them put up that pointed the direction down here. And then there, right behind it was a little baseball field. And when our son was very young and playing that T-ball, I would show up, and I was one of the coaches, and I never will forget that he was out there, and he was just standing up there with the bat, and I wasn't paying attention. A little boy drew back and threw a fastball and hit him right in the front of the head, and it really wasn't that bad or that hard, but scared him to death. I like to never got him to stand in home plate and hold his bat after that. Spend time with your kids. Brother Bart taking his family different places. Wonderful time with his kids. By the way, we got a birthday boy down here this morning, right? Kingston, how old are you now? 13. Happy birthday. When I hear men spending time with their kids, it blesses my heart as a pastor because I know how important that is. My dad took me on my first squirrel hunt. Now, it may not mean a whole lot to y'all, but it was a big deal back then, okay? Gave me that 410 shotgun, gave me two shells, put me under a tree, set me there, and he said, there's a hickory tree, there's a squirrel there. Show me all the acorns had been eaten. You sit right there. Took me on my first fishing trip. Let me catch my first little perch. Spent time with me. Dads today are so busy, they don't want to take time. Or it's not, maybe they don't want to take time. They just get busy in their life. Then thank them and reward them and brag on them. Nothing, that needs to be something. If you're going to brag on them, it needs to be something that they've done good. And when they do something good, and especially if you brag on them in public where others can hear that. I mean, that's awesome with them. And then hug your kids. Hello? Hug your kids. My gracious, children need to be hugged. That's not old-fashioned. It's not outdated. It's something as dads, our children, the girls, the boys, need to be hugged. And I've talked to grown men that have told me, Brother Larry, my dad, I can never remember my dad ever hugging me. That ought to be a sin. That's not a sin, but it's a shame. Little children growing up need to be hugged. Courtney said to me not long ago, now I've gotten too big to sit in your lap, but I sure wished I could, Dad. She remembers those times. Hug them. Then just a couple more things here. Apologize to them when you have made a mistake. A man that hadn't got enough courage about him or whatever it is it takes to say when you've made a mistake with your child and you mess up, you need to go to that child and say, Daddy, sorry, I made a mistake. I want to ask you for forgiveness. The reason so many children today do not know how to say I'm sorry is because they had a dad that never said he was sorry. Now, I don't mean sorry in the sense that there's, as my grandmother would say, sorry, no account. Just I'm sorry for making a mistake. I'm sorry for doing this or doing that. And name it to your child. Amen? Name it to your child. Apologize to them. Let them hear. This is so important for guys and girls, children. I don't guess there's any others, guys and girls, right? Debatable today. Let them hear you apologize to their mother. Hello? I mean, a real man will apologize to his wife. It doesn't mind the kids hearing that. Honey, I'm sorry. I really messed up. I want you to forgive me. And when they hear that, you know, deep down inside, it makes that lasting impression. So that when they get married and they mess up and they say, it's okay. Hey, it's okay. Have fun with them. Don't let your neighbor kids think that your kids have a dad that's holier than thou. You get out there in the street and play with them, or out in the front yard and play with them and have fun with them, go camping with them, do all those things, but just have some fun. One of the neat things, and I would encourage parents with smaller kids to do this, my wife came up with, does anybody remember who Emily Post was? Okay, some of us old-timers do. Well, you can still get those at the antique store, by the way. Gift, certain. We had one of those. I think we had two of them, but we had one of those, and it was like from the probably 30s, 40s, and 50s, and things that they would do, like how they served their food, what you would do with certain types of food. Like if you, back in those days, they'd have a small little container. I don't know what you would call it. It wasn't a finger bowl, but they'd put maybe prunes in it. And there was a certain way you would eat that prune and to spit the pit out. You'd go like that, or some of us would do that today, wouldn't we? And we got more fun out of reading that old Emily Post book at the supper table, dinner table at night with the kids. And they were 7th, 8th graders. And we'd read those things, how our grandparents used to do around the table and everything. And we would just laugh and have the biggest fun. Well, what we do with our children, one of these days we as parents will be gone if the Lord doesn't come back. And our children will be a testimony of our lives and what we believed and what we stood for. And if we stood for anything, if we took stands or didn't take stands. I haven't shared this story with my wife, but I had permission from my son to share it. Monday morning of this past week, I get a phone call from him. And I usually call him, but he's gotten where he calls me more and more. He's a busy dad too. But he calls me. And I could tell in his voice, I said, how are you? He said, I had a rough day yesterday. Yesterday being Sunday afternoons. Their church only has Sunday morning services. They drive 45 minutes and get there and go to church and everything. And Sunday afternoon, they have small groups sometimes in their home. But he said, the kids were all out playing. It was dinner time. Stephen's about 6'3". Now Jared, his son, is taller than him at 4'15". Stephen said, I hollered at the kids and said, it's time to come in for supper. So all of them came in except Gabriel. He's the 4-year-old. He said, come on, Gabriel. And he said, no, I'm going to stay and play. He said, Gabriel, you know you're going to get a spanking if you don't obey Daddy. I don't care. I'm staying. You know, terrible twos carry the terrible threes and terrible fours. And so he said he went and got him. And he said, you know why Daddy's going to spank you? Yes, sir. So he gives him a little spanking, and he starts just screaming. Now, this kid's got a scream that will break glass. We were at a restaurant, and I think it was up there with them one time, and he was about 2, and he got into one of these screaming fits, and Stephen had to leave the restaurant and didn't come back in. So he said, I would just hold him, and he's kicking, and he's screaming and scratching. Now, that's pure rebellion, simple and plain, pure rebellion. Well, I wanted to tell him. He started telling me this. I wanted to say, well, you know, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and this is what you need to beat the devil out of him. Now, just listen. He said, normally if I hold him about 5 minutes, he's okay, and he will apologize and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. And say, okay, go get supper. And he said, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, he was still screaming. He screamed until he couldn't scream anymore, and he just literally was exhausted and went to sleep in my son's arms. Well, they'd finished eating together, and all the girls were, Mom and the girls were upstairs. Jared, the 15-year-old, kept checking on Dad. Stephen said when he woke him up to go run into Mom, he let him go, and he said, Dad, I'm sorry. Let him go to Mom. Stephen said, Dad, I just went out to the woodshed, what he called it, and wept and wept and wept and cried out to God. And he said, while I was weeping, I felt a big hand on my shoulder, and it was my son. It was Jared, his 15-year-old. And he said, Dad, you've always been a great testimony to me, but what you have just demonstrated the last 45 minutes with little Bubba has been the greatest testimony to my life of anything you've ever demonstrated. He said, Dad, can I pray with you? And they prayed and they cried together. And I said, well, son, what did the Lord show you through this? He said, Dad, the whole time I was holding him, this is what God said, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet kicking and screaming, he died for us. And then he said in John 10:27 and following, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. He said, all the time my little son was kicking and screaming, God was showing me, Stephen, that's the way you act many times out of my will as a father. Kicking and screaming, and God is just sitting there holding us. Won't let us go. That's the love of the Father. That's the love of the Father. And I said, wow, wow, son, I'm so proud of you. Let me pray with you. Will you stand with me? Father, you know in my heart, I would be lying if I said I'm a perfect dad. But Lord, I've made so many mistakes as a dad, as a father. But I'm grateful that you never let me go. Even while I was kicking and screaming, you loved me in spite of my sin and myself, and still allowed us to raise godly children. I'm so grateful that I have a son and a daughter that love you, and they're with their spouses, raising our grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, many years, if Jesus tarries when I'm gone, some in this room will remember that testimony. I pray, Lord, it would make a lasting impression, not because of me as a pastor, but because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Lord, no perfect father here this morning, but we have a job to do, and it's a tough job. But all the rewards, I would that every father here could have a son or a daughter that would say what my son said and do what my grandson did. That's not by chance or not by accident, but by you, dear Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Father, bless the men here today that have a deep desire to be godly men and to lead their families. Those that have messed up, Lord, all of us have messed up. May they ask you for forgiveness and their children for forgiveness. Lord, I'm not sure what you desire to do during this time of invitation, but I just pray, Lord, that maybe if some daddies need to come with their kids, just kneel at this altar. Bring a grandson or grandchild. So, Father, my prayer is if there's any man in the house or any woman in the house or any young person in the house that needs to come to know Christ as Savior, that today they would come. Make him their eternal Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, we thank you so much for your great love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.